Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Serving up all your favorite whiskey, wine, and local craft beers. Tuesday through Saturday, so swing by and visit them. They've always got great live music going on over there. Also, you can find Stephen Chozich there on Thursday, July 19th. Diesel Island there on July 20th, Friday night. And Cree Rider Family Band, Saturday, July 21st. Full listing of events at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And keep an eye out on August 14th. I'll return out there with my monthly singer-songwriter show. It's every second Tuesday. August 14th, we'll be back with Bobby Stevens, Anna Shanoff, and Matt Wynn. So mark that on the calendar. Again, everything nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Get in! This is Mastermind, and you tune in to Rock Paper Podcast. Shoot!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 Paper Podcast, y'all.
Just a certainty. Brush it off and focus. Can't be looking lost in hopeless. But it's hard for me to notice when the dad decided to serve to me. I done see my niggas blossom. I done see my niggas crash. I done see my own brother. Shit me up, my only cash. Itching for the paper, can't blame my palm had the rats. Smoking up the plug stash, daddy on your ass. They say the truth is harder swallowed than broken glass. I'm thinking different, I gotta get fucking flip my last. Pick up on the blessing, fuck around and finesse the half. I'ma need it all, I'ma need my shit right now.
Don't hold me back. Hold your tongue and save your face. Not cause I can care less, hey. I just can't care anymore. Cause all this time it's cost me, hey. I can't afford to even.
Finna jump, no stiffin' all around. Smell a skunk in my trunk. But if you ain't got no warrant, book you not for the punk. Be on my rights, not even the slightest. For the darkest part of the city, but beaming the brightest. The path we decided, pay for pressure that could crush a diamond. No use for your steady aim for your target. It suits your side as an artist just to be back where you started. My nigga, believe this rhyming or not. Pulling up, 5 a.m. on the dot. Leaving the student testing new, trying to see what it got. sirens ringing through the city. It's a hood sending magic numb to the tragic. We just wildin' with one foot in the casket. It got me hasty. No choice to go from local to global. I told you. Fuck a job at the postal. I ain't that hopeful. School tuition with missing. Had to spend it on that Pro Tools. Playing with my eyesight. Always knowing my toe tools. That's on me.
Hold me down. Don't hold me.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at Tech Artista with Mastermind.
Good people, good people, good people. How y'all living?
Hey man, welcome to the show. I'm very excited to be here today. Getting to
me as well.
Getting to hang out and talk to you. It was kind of crazy how this one all started, man. I've definitely been keeping an eye on everything you've been up to for a while now.
Appreciate that.
I guess I probably started really taking notice with like what you did Lou Fest in 16.
Yeah.
Is that right?
17.
All right.
Yep.
And then I was trying to think. I'm thinking that was probably one of the first introductions to what you're up to.
Okay.
And then. But we just ran into each other over the weekend here, or I guess the other night, Thursday, was the A-List Awards party over in Clayton for St. Louis Magazine, and that was a really great party with a bunch of good people, Moff and Fat Pocket, you know, holding it down on for the entertainment for the night. And
somebody won an award out there, didn't it?
Yeah, a couple people did. Yeah, I was honored to be included. I was really. Really a cool thing. I don't know how that all came up, but like I got a notification that I won their Editor's Choice Award for Best Podcast. So that was
award winning.
Yeah,
rock paper.
Yeah, man. But do you write for them? Are you like a freelance writer for them or something? I saw your name in there as well.
Yeah, man. I guess at this point, just a valued opinion.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They had did an article. They've always been showing love. I feel like since I like dropped some of my first videos, to be for real. So like people like Thomas Crone and like people have always been showing love. But they recently written a article about me doing the Lou Fest, and they reached out to me just to like dig up on what was some of my favorite St. Louis stuff. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just touched on like different artists too, like who I feel like is the epitome. Just with the artistic drive and their approach and how they channel their art through their music, but
yeah, man, very cool. Yeah, I didn't know many of the names on there, so I'll have to go do some homework and for sure.
Yeah,
I love that kind of stuff because that's like, you know, I've been doing this show for 4 years now, and I felt like I had a fair idea of what was going on in St. Louis music. That's why I started wanting to talk about St. Louis music.
Yeah.
But then like I quickly realized like there was so much more than I was aware of, and so when I see things like that, like, you know, I've already done like almost 600 of these and there's still so much out there to learn, you know, and it's like it makes me want to push harder to continue to discover more new stuff. And so
that's appreciated, man, because especially here in St. Louis, it's like there are very there's a lot of pockets of just like condensed dope culture, but to the point to where like, you know, you mess around and never even know that one exists, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you go to a different part of the scene and you'll find $20 in your pocket.
Oh yeah, man.
Type thing. But yeah.
So I mentioned
playing Lou Fest last year and stuff. Was that that was pretty wild day.
It was a moment, man. Cause like Lou Fest was was one of my most favorite moments that happened recently, and not because things went perfect. Mm-hmm. They actually like didn't. I don't even know if people. Yeah. I don't even know if people like really. I don't even know if people actually really knew. But I remember when I was leaving. I was leaving Lou Fest, and I got an email. I do Google News alerts for myself. I don't do that. But I got an email, and it was like Google News alerts STL today. Mastermind overcomes technical difficulties at Lou Fest stage. I was like, And like at the end of the day, man, I was blessed with the opportunity to be on main stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, same stage as Uncle Snoop, you know what I mean? And you know, we stepped up to the plate. This was us walking into the league officially. Yeah. That's what it felt like. But it was a good, clean reminder that, like, you know, we've done enough work to be at the practice. Now, once you get to the league, it's not about to be just some easy breeze win. As soon as we got up there, we got hit.
Yeah.
In the utmost realities of just like, okay, we got to be prepared for this. Got to be ready for this. Got to be able to just control your reactions. Because as soon as I got up there, everything possibly went wrong in this best ability. But it kind of gave me that chance to like step up and place everything right. You know what I mean? It was like the smallest of stuff. Mm-hmm. People don't even know, like, something random happened and like my laptop was missing. It was just like, what? It's like the most craziest of stuff, man. But I enjoyed that moment.
Yeah.
I stepped up to the plate and just was like, hey, we just gonna control our reactions. I hold it down.
I mean, I hear a lot of those like kind of stories, you know. It's just like where everything that does go wrong, but it's what sets you apart is your reaction, like you're saying. You stepped up to the plate regardless of how, you know, you're not going to let this stuff slow you down. You're going to, the show must go on.
Yeah.
And you're going to deliver. So, but yeah, man, that was fun. I love that Lou Fest is doing that, like bringing in a lot of great local talent. You know, this year we got a whole bunch of great local jazz players.
Shout out Owen Ragland. That was the young 16-year-old fella who was playing in my band last year.
Oh, wow.
Really key clutch element that actually really helped facilitate it. He facilitated that so well that Lou Fest picked him up for this year. So it's the Owen Ragland Quintet. It's the same band that played at Lou Fest for my set. So I don't know. I gotta give him a shout out because definitely. Like, dude, he's 16, bro.
Oh yeah.
And he is. Yeah. There's, phenomenal mind.
Dope. My friends, the Bernie sisters are there also.
Yeah.
And they are, I think, 10 and 12 years old now.
What?
And they're playing. And they're so good. Like,
I gotta get hit, man.
Yeah, they're like folk kind of music. There's two of the one plays acoustic guitar, one plays like mandolin and stuff.
Yeah.
And but they write some of the best songs, like, and I'm like, it's just crazy to think that they're doing this at that age and like at that level. And but yeah, they're gonna take off. They're doing real big things already, and it's just great to see that. You know, I don't know. I try to think about what I was doing at 10 and 12.
Right.
It's just like, yeah.
No, man, the youth got it, man.
Yeah. Well, let's go back a bit though before you got to Lou Fest and everything.
Yeah.
I want to like I said, this is our first time really getting to talk, and you know, besides I bumped into you at the party and grew up in St. Louis area or all out?
Yeah, man. Born and raised in St. Louis, and shoot, I feel like for real, I've actually was able to spend time in like all parts of St. Louis. I technically was like, my first early years, I grew up on the South Side, like around Russell, you know what I mean, around a couple of different state streets. We later ended up moving to the North, where I stayed right over there by Grand Natural Bridge, right there by Fairgrounds. Yeah, man, I mean, it's North Side, you know what I'm saying? We was blessed that, like, my family, they went and took a leap and they rehabbed a home. and it was a home that we owned. We had a lot of work to do with that mug, you know what I'm saying? But like slowly but surely, those steps got taken, and we was able to rehab a house and like really have that home to like hold things down for us, which was like really, really important and pivotal because, you know, have a family of beautiful, talented, amazing creatives. And that may not be the necessarily best climate in St. Louis, being a young black creative with a family, you know what I'm saying? So they definitely went through the stages of paying their dues and like just putting things together and being able to set something up for their children, man. Like, I don't know, I always got to talk about that because like they put so much love into it, yeah. That like the lack of not having certain things, that didn't exist. It didn't exist, not in my brain, you know what I mean? Like it was just opportunities. Mm-hmm. It was opportunities to learn and grow, opportunities, yada, 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 you know what I mean? Whether it was no power sometimes, no water, you know what I'm saying? Like people was able to adapt quick, move, and blossom from that situation to become who he is today. So
yeah, man.
That stuff is, yeah.
And some of that, like, you know, yeah, it might be some hard times sometimes, but like, when you got a supportive family like that, some of that stuff really don't really matter. I mean, like you get caught up sometimes thinking about all that stuff, but when you got people surrounding you that love you, like it's, you know, that's more so.
It's key, man. It's really balancing, and I feel like it's truly made me to be the humbled individual I am today,
mm-hmm.
and to like really appreciate those type of standpoints, because it's like, you know, a spark can only light itself. I mean, a spark is inspired by the darkness. You know what I'm saying? It's just like those are just key pivotal moments into like character building.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't just build character if you lived in heaven your whole life. You know, it's just like you gotta be able to have some adversities.
For sure.
I feel. But yeah.
You were always writing as a kid, or that?
I was always making beats as a kid. Okay. Like, my earliest moments of music was like me, my pops was in the music industry and my mom did fashion. So I always saw a creative family traveling and monetizing their endeavors for their family, you know what I mean, and pursuing their dreams. But I started off like playing percussions in a reggae band at a young age. My pops managed a reggae band. And from there, my pops, he always had like little keyboard Casio, little bitty small pianos and stuff around, and I'd always be playing with them just consistently. Eventually around like the age of 12, FL Studio was brought to the crib, and that was my baby. It was a DAW, and I've been using that ever since, just crafting out beats endlessly. Every night, every day, get home from school. Even I was a part of the DSAG program, so I got shipped from the north side to Clayton, which was an experience itself. But Clayton had money at their school, so they actually had a whole program. They had a music production program with keyboards and new software that I didn't even know of. And I'm like, bruh, like, you know what I mean? So I tremendously excelled in that class. I was kind of just like an honorary student. But, you know, it was just like all those different moments that like led into the journey itself. You know what I mean? So from there, I would be producing different artists around the city. And I eventually got the confidence to create music myself. I was really shy at first. Like I was shy, quiet, and music really, really birthed my confidence. First, my confidence, man, though. Like, it allowed me to break out of those angles. It allowed me to tackle my own insecurities. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Music saved a brother's life, for real.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I do find that funny. Like, a lot of people, man, where they're, you know, they can get on stage and they can rock a crowd, but, like, you get to them afterwards or whatever, and they're all quiet and shy. And, like,
yeah.
They're really, you know, it's like, it's just, it's funny how people personalities are like that. Sometimes they come to life on the stage, but like when you get to really know them, like they're pretty quiet, and you know, like I said, they're nervous and about being in front of a microphone like this or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, so sometimes I really, you know, for people that, you know, do this for a living, performing and stuff, like sometimes having interviews with them are sometimes very difficult and stuff, just to, but
that's facts. I've been trying to work on that because I've always felt like that was something I need to work on.
Yeah.
Not, you know, I don't know, like I never want to get stuck into the fashion of like, oh, well, I'm just a quiet person. I'm just timid. I don't like introducing myself in front of people first. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to coin it as my characteristics because things in my past have allowed me to stay in that zone.
Sure.
Like, I'm trying my best, but I'm uncomfortable. Let me get up out of that. I'm trying to work on that, bro.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah.
So you said you spend a lot of time producing for others, artists, and then I guess when do you start developing as become mastermind?
As mastermind, let's see, like 17, I had really decided that I was gonna just become an artist full time, you know, like and vocally express myself. But from there I was kind of like dibble dabbling in between mastermind because I didn't like the name, and like I'd like be doing little side groups with some of my friends and stuff like that, but I was really I was just growing into me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, trying to find different areas because vocally this was new for me. It's new ground. I've been producing for years, but vocally trying to figure out, what do I want to express? What don't I want to express? You know, like all those different avenues. Eventually, the name Mastermind really sunk in and hit. And I watched myself embody that name subconsciously with like every move that I did. I didn't even see how like I would be setting things up like a mastermind. I would be mastering my mind. You know what I mean? Just like little small things that I didn't really even understand. I literally picked that name and I was like, this sounds cool when I was young. But I'm happy because you get to see that little small taste of the magic in the journey of, sure, like, oh snaps, bro, dang, like that wasn't no accident, you know what I mean, like everything has its meaning, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, man, that's awesome. I like it. I don't know what you think, what it's like, sort of like a, what's that, like a self-fulfilled prophecy kind of thing, like a little bit, you know, like a, you kind of, you know, you pick it, but then like, then you own it, you know, it's like, then yeah, it's like, this is who I am now. It's like,
man, I say definitely,
yeah,
definitely, definitely. Names are very powerful, and names are more powerful than we know. I'm trying to figure out what to say next, but it's like, I had a friend, a really good music person, who a really good individual who I made music with, and he had a particular artist name, and it embodied that artist name, even subconsciously, to where survival mode completely took over that artist. But it's just interesting how like it just happened like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like, I don't know, I just, so get it's been an interesting chance to like see different things like that happen in the universe, and just try your best to put your own meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But yeah.
Has it always been hip hop? You said that your dad had like the reggae band around and stuff, but like as far as like getting into your own original and stuff, like has it always kind of been?
It's always been hip hop.
Yeah.
It's always been hip hop. Like, but what I love about hip hop the most is the dexterity. Hopefully, I said that right. But like, hip-hop is one of the, I feel like one of the few genres that hip-hop is a communicator. And you can add and fuse so much to hip-hop.
Yeah.
It's limitless. You can literally fuse hip-hop with any genre. I mean, like, can you do country and jazz? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But hip-hop allows, like, it's literally the segment and the pathway to, like, all of the past genres and all of the future ones for me. At least, like, that's the base I work out of, but I never let it constrain my boundaries. I can reach out and mm-hmm. go grab some old French prog synths. I can go grab some old jazz. You know what I mean? I can listen to theories of jazz and try to structure my drums in some, you know, 5/4 tempo. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, but hip-hop has always been the base for me, man.
Yeah. I think, exactly what you're saying. Like, it's such, it's that's kind of what's fun about music too. Like, it may be based in out of hip hop, but like you're saying, you can, there's so many influences and so many different things you can do under that, you know, and like you can still, like I said, have the jazz, have the rock, have whatever. There's a lot of different things you can kind of bring in to, and it still be under hip hop umbrella, and it's like, and have fun with it. Because like all those beats, like some people, you know, create all these different beats with all kinds of different influence, like you're saying. So
it's facts, it's facts, it's facts.
It's it's cool, man. I like what so we were kind of talking a bit. You got a big show coming up over at the pageant. We talked a bit off mic about it, but you are getting to share the stage with J.E. over there.
Yes. Legend.
Man. Like, legend. I remember the first time I heard Country Grammar, and I picked up, I had the single, like the, our sampler kind of thing was like, I think it was Country Grammar and Greed, Hate, Envy.
That's dope.
I forget what. I think there was a third one, but I don't know. Whatever it was, I forget. I know, like, but I remember hearing those for the first time, and like, you know, when Nelly broke out, what, like 99 or whatever, like as a solo.
Yeah.
And like, I remember like that just like totally changed everything for me when I was like, I was going into my. I was like eighth grade year or something like around there, and for me, coming into middle school and stuff and all that. But yeah, J.E.'s been like crushing it. Like, I mean, all that music, that whole that record obviously took off huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, but he's been doing big things for the last 20 something years or more. You're getting a. He just also put out a compilation record with a bunch
of
great
artists. In the city.
So this is, I guess. This is gonna be, so this is Red Bull Music and him put this together, is that right? Something like
yeah,
that?
Man. For one, Red Bull Music is here in St. Louis. Red Bull Music is here in St. Louis. Red Bull Music took the time out to be here in St. Louis. And I gotta say that so many times because I'm real close with the Red Bull team. I've been doing a lot of work with them, especially the Red Bull St. Louis team. Like, I got sent out to Red Bull Music Academy Base Camp out in Detroit, and I don't know, they always link me on really dope opportunities. For the longest, behind the scenes, this has been like in works. So many different pitches to try to get Red Bull Music to come here, and they all get turned down. Hopefully I can say this, but you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, okay, we finally have their attention here. It's a big moment to where that like other cities that have Red Bull Music concretely into their city's infrastructure, that's like boosting their music economy because they're setting up 5-day festivals. You know what I mean? People, it's all I gotta say is let's show up and show out and prove to Red Bull that we do have the culture.
Oh yeah. So it'd be, so you get to you'll get to share the stage with J.E. that night?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. A brother's blessed with a 30-minute set, so pull up on me. But at the end of the day, man, I get to be around some legendary people. That's humbling.
Yeah.
To be able to rub shoulders. J.E.'s bringing out Chingy, Murph Durf. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's going to be some iconic things taking place. And to be for real, I've never met these people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, even that itself is going to be a moment. Just being backstage and being like, Chinky, powerballing, DTP. You know what I'm saying? Respect. One, I would definitely do a track with Chinky. But anywho, but I don't know. Those are moments.
Sure.
Those are moments with an individual like myself striving to be someone legendary to eventually do stuff that they did, and God willing, do more, because that's our goal. You know what I'm saying? But like, so those some very moments. Those some moments. My bad. I'm just yeah.
Yeah. What was man? There, you said DTP. I'm blanking on the name of the title of the song. But there was a verse he did.
Baller Baby.
On a Ludacris track for the Disturbing the Peace stuff, and when he was with them and. I don't know, it was hot, man. Like, it was one of my favorite verses he's ever put down.
You're straight booming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're I imagine, you know, the guys like Cheney, like you're saying, getting to hang with him now, coming up this show. But like growing up, seeing guys like Nelly and Cheney and all these, you know, kind of putting St. Louis hip hop on the map, you know, like on a grand scale. I'm sure those guys were all big influences and stuff. Like, I mean, getting to see people out there doing it, like that. Hey, I want to do that.
It definitely was. For me, it caught me on the tail end. Because again, I started making beats around 12, 13, 14, 15. So, like around 15, like I like really got lashed into the St. Louis artists I really got lashed on to was like, it was like Huey, yeah. Pop Like It, Drop It, Jibs. You know what I'm saying? But like those were the moments where I was active as a musician, and either I was like, this is competition.
Right.
Or I was either like, yo, this is just inspiring. The producers behind it, Memph Hits, the rest of them dudes. You know what I mean? So, like, those were the moments that were really pivotal for me. But at the end of the day, it was like seeing the fact that we have done so much. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be forgetting about that stuff, man.
Yeah, I haven't heard Jib's name in a while, or Huey. Like, trying to pull it up, man. It's gonna bother me if I can't think of it. Go to the old Spotify here.
Yeah, I remember the Jibs when he was booming, because I had an artist and they were like the same age, and I was like, oh man, like this is our competition now, man. He's signed to a deal. Yeah.
Right.
Nah, man.
Man, I can't think. It's I think it was on Luda's record, actually.
Yeah. Is that 2 Chainz? Teddy Boy. Yeah, snapping. In the best for your dome, cause I know you marks planning on getting me when I'm landing. He's the nick, but my cannon go. He just stabbed it, man. We gon' call your ass a taxi. Bleeding so hard, you need a life size maxi. Boy, what a time.
But he goes into like Pine Lawn and all the whatever, all the little neighborhoods and stuff.
That's
and
like,
that was We Got from the Chicken and Beer record from Ludacris. That's what I was trying to think of.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. Bro, we need this back, dog. Damn, we need that shit back.
Yeah, it was like 01, so that's been a while.
Okay.
But yeah, like we just said, is that 2 Chainz? Now he's 2 Chainz. Went from Titty Boy.
Hey. Shout out to 2 Chainz,
yeah.
Though, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a dedication over the years and not giving up on your craft.
Right.
And just being focused. Because he continued to reinvent himself at the age of like 38.
Right.
I could be wrong on the numbers, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, though, you know what I mean? How many people would have been like, give up? I mean, how many people probably told him give up?
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Well, let's talk about more. You just released a new single here just a couple weeks back, right?
Yes, sir.
Now available everywhere, all your iTunes and Spotify, everywhere. Tidal. And you have the music video also watched on YouTube, and really, really cool video too. Like just, it was interesting. Like, I still appreciate music videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's fun to see what people do with them. You know, some of them are. But it was like really well done. And who did that with you?
Man, crazy enough, the director, her name is Jocelyn Cooper. She's out there in LA, but we actually went to high school together.
Oh, wow.
Crazy enough, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to St. Louis for actually making that link up together.
Yeah.
We shot that out in LA, and it was a long 19-hour, just 4-day shoot. We went out to the Mojave Desert and shot some scenes out there, and I don't know, man. It was really dope to be a part of that project and to witness like a full chain of command to execute this video. It was just tight watching, like just going from the idea, going from the planning stages, seeing the call sheet, getting there on set, seeing like 25 different people who are all on accord to your dream, your vision. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, oh man, this is I'm getting used to this. You know what I mean? No. But it was nice because, again, we're starting to break those boundaries from DIY to where we aren't just completely doing this ourselves, one camera, yada yada yada. You know what I mean? It's like seeing other scales and learning how to correlate and put together a vision. I don't know, with teamwork. So that was real dope to see, man.
Yeah, very cool. Like I said, it's up on YouTube and on the Facebook page as well.
Premiered on Tidal too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You said you're developing a pretty good relationship with them, right?
Yeah, man. I have been selected to be a Tidal Rising artist. So it's like they keep a really good eye on you. They've been including me in like all of the big Tidal Rising playlists, which has been really nice, which has been doing wonders for my streams. So shout out to that. It's just helped me get exposure, because in this list, it's the same exact artists who are currently in the running to be up next. So it is a blessing to get a cosign from them to be like, oh no, he's in the same category as the people who's up next. So whew, that's clutch. So the more I do, the more potentially down the line, the more benefits I get from the Tidal Rise and stuff. So, you know, hopefully we'll have some full tour coverage, because that's what they do for Tidal Rising artists. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Whew.
I think.
Show and prove.
Yeah, it seems like that's the new, like, you know, the Tidal, right? You know, those lists. Spotify playlists are big, too.
Big,
and,
man.
Like, but I remember when I read Rolling Stone, and at the back they always had like the top 10 tracks or whatever of the week, or whatever the list was and stuff and like that. And like, I would always like to go and look at that just to see like kind of what's going on. And like, it was always nice to see those kind of things, these lists and stuff. But like, but now it's like gets morphed into, like I said, these other
playlists.
Yeah, and it's cool to see like people doing that and then like, and actually caring, you know, like people are like, hey, well, you know, I always like what they put on there. So like, they're actually listening. Like you're saying, your streams are going up and stuff. People are actually taking the time out to like actually listen to these songs and stuff that they're recommending.
Especially in this oversaturated market, man. Well, I guess we can say oversaturated. It's just so many different choices to listen to at the end of the day.
Right.
It's tons, and then you're also being force fed a lot of content to listen to on a daily.
Mm-hmm.
From like paid media to paid radio promotions to yada yada, like, you know. So the fact that people take the time out without me having that really big cosign, it's like, oh no, you need to be listening to this, or it's always in your face, people taking their time out of their day, that's like really dope. I feel like it's low-key kind of like underrated, because society literally tells everybody what to listen to, what to wear, what to yada 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 yada. So the people who like don't have to follow by that stuff, and then they pick you, that's like really tight to me. That's really dope. Yeah.
I'ma need a little more. I'ma need a little more. I ain't tryna even score. So glad y'all adore. But I'ma need more. I'ma need more. Yeah. Had a little taste of the cake. I can't wait. Step on the stage and I rage. I feel like a fiend for applause.
breathe it, then you hit the stool. I'm not trying to party at all. Don't tell me just live in a moment, man. Fuck that, I spotted some flaws. I know when they say that I'm cold, but wait till the day I unthaw. What's better than raw? Now the goddamn thing gave up my target. It's nowhere to shoot or it wrong. Leave me alone, I'm all in my zone. No sitting for no in the car. We open the ball, shoot my shot, I never fade away. Nope, not at all. I cannot stall. Fuck around and never break down. If I break now, I
run it up, run it up, run it up.
I need a little more. I ain't tryna even score. So glad y'all adore. But I'ma need more. I'ma need more. Yeah. Had a little taste of the cake. I can't wait. Shit, I'ma need more. I'ma need a little more. I'ma need a little more. I'ma need more. I'ma need a little more. I'ma need a little more. I'm partner perks from underground and fresh above the boot. Get to the top, I'm Scotchy Captain Kirk. Hop on my spot, my shot to flex my work. My future pretty boy, and she's a flirt. Hop on my business, boy, I need to learn. She.
Sick and
get some footage. With all the pain that we ever endure, feeling like I realize what I'm here for. Been broke too long, can't afford to be bored. Checks smelling in, skin pure. Man, I'm tryna tour over shores. Pop always said I was more. Young blackhead in the face of reality, tryna get it poppin' on the porch. Trappin' throwin' punches, I've been talking about you. Check the box of demons in this walk for the sins. Try to pretend as if he even had to delay. Premium pressure, I turn it all to a gym. Sacrificing games, working out of the end. Shit, I've been in the days. Going to the thought, I ain't faced. Man, I pray I never lost in my ways. I'ma need a little more. I'ma need a little more. I ain't tryna even score. So glad y'all adore. But I'ma need more. But I'ma need more.
Anything you want to add around more? Is it like any stories around this song at all?
Yeah, man. I always put deeper hidden meanings in my songs, whether it's for myself or people to find down the line. You know what I mean? But more though, from looking at the album cover and a lot of different other promotional methods. I was going for Andalusian vibes. I was going for the Moors in Spain vibe. That's why you saw a lot of that. You saw a lot of that red. You saw a lot of those golds. You saw some of like the Arabic calligraphy. You know what I mean? And funny enough, just like Mali Mula talking about Mansa Musa. You know, I've always been told stories about the Moors in my childhood. And as a young black man, being able to hear stories like that, it's not just stories, like this is like legit history. The fact that a culture can embark, go conquer another place and bring peace to it. Bring technological advancements to it, like they brought a whole culture wave of just like they to an extent, people were saying that was one of the biggest reasons how come Europe was able to move out of the Dark Ages, that brought them to the Enlightenment. You know what I'm saying? It's like it'd be dope to. That's the type of goals that I'm striving for when I fully take my platform to where I'm trying to go. I want to be able to assist in something that's that big and cultural to where it has that type of impact on the world. That's the only what else are we aiming for in my head? You know what I'm saying? It's like to be able to be a part of something like that. So I interject that into my music, whether it's like real small, it's something for me or other people understand. You know what I mean? But it's like I'm trying to travel over shores like the Moors. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying to take what I got, take what I built here, go conquer. But I ain't just trying to conquer to go burn shit down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But let's go push what we've learned. Let's go push what we acquired. Let's go push beauty into the world. You know what I'm saying? So that's like the goal, because it's like at the end of the day, what also more is about is just like that cringing feeling that I get after doing something amazing. And be humbled, but then there's this other feeling that's like, this is just the beginning, we need more,
right.
we need more. Which is like the dopest thing in the world, because it's like, I'm not satisfied, but I'm humbled, but I'm not sad. I'm like, man, I gotta get more. But sure. I'm trying to channel into that feeling, because sometimes it can take over and it'll put you in a blur. Just like how I was in a video, I wasn't there. I wasn't present, I wasn't mentally there. I need more. So I like try to show myself that to be like, hey, be careful, bruh. Getting caught up and going to go get more before you just get lost into the blur of not being present, because you already got the present and that's you. So and then it doubles back to more of being like, you know what I'm saying? My skin is pure like the more. Remember your worth and yourself. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, like it's like 10 million different messages in all of my stuff. But I try to package it to be digestible.
Yeah.
So when somebody opens up their present, they be like, oh my God, that's lit. That's a lot of stuff. But yeah.
And that's all you on vocals, right?
It is.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you use a lot of different, voices, you know, like you change your voice a lot. Like
yeah.
They're like, you know, and different rhythms and stuff. And
trying to get sharp with my sword, man.
Yeah. But I really dig it, man. Yeah, that was a great track. And like I said, check out the video and go ahead and click subscribe on the YouTube channel for more videos and all that stuff. And
please do. We started a new YouTube channel because I heard Vivo is phasing out.
I don't know.
I heard Vivo is phasing out, so I went ahead and just started a regular YouTube channel. All
right.
So feel free to subscribe, guys. Hit the like button in the comments.
All right.
You know how they be.
Yeah. Like I said, again, July 20th, Friday night,
man.
The pageant.
Yes,
have you played the pageant yet?
No, dude. Like, this is my first time at the pageant. And, like, I said this earlier. I was like, man, I've been waiting on this moment. I was like, nah, bro, you ain't been waiting on a single thing. We've been working for this moment.
Yeah.
It's a huge moment for me. I mean, sometimes other artists, they get a chance to perform at the pageant. They get to open up, different things of that nature. But for me, it's like, I just did Delmar Hall twice.
Yeah.
We steady rising up. And it's like, now I'm at the pageant. I get to have that rising trajectory. I get to feel that in my soul of like, Xing out measurable goals and getting to it. You know what I'm saying? So, it's a blessing.
Yeah,
I'm just ready to deliver.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm ready to deliver so I can go get more.
There you go.
Next goal. Let's knock it out.
Yeah. Well, we did throw your picture up online and see if some fans had some questions for you.
Hey.
And we got actually some really good ones. A lot of times I do this and like it just ends up being your friends writing a bunch of goofy stuff to you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like... which is always fun, but like yeah. It's sometimes it's nice when people actually take it seriously. And
facts.
And so we got some good ones here.
Okay.
Let's see. How do you tackle artist development and management in a climate where there isn't a major label backing to ensure these areas are handled proficiently?
You ever seen that Krusty Krab meme? It's like a meme of like. Krusty Krab.
Oh yeah, sure. Right. And the what's a?
It's just like a blur.
Plankton's. The chum bucket.
Yeah, that's what it is. In my head, it's like, oh my God. Man, it can really be a freaking blur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying, and I'm continuously learning to be able to set up an infrastructural system. This is what is working for me. I'm not sure what works for other artists, but I try to make sure I have that balance to, I want to present my craft as an artist to its utmost ability, then I want to protect my craft to its utmost ability, which means that, like, if you put all this life into your art, you want to make sure that it becomes life-changing. So it's a very serious matter to me to align and work on my business, set up infrastructures so that my art can live, so that my art can reach people, so that I can take care of my family with my art. It's essential. At first, I used to hate the business balance because I'm like, bro, I just want to make some music, man. I'm not trying to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be distracted. I won't be able to. But it's like, when you get a chance to treat the business like an art, you will always be creating. You will not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be curating this. You'll be tweaking EQs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'll always be in that mindset of creating. For me, being an independent, as of right now, one of the biggest things that has been helping me out is just creating an organizational database. I use like this project management tool that like a lot of like Salesforce people use and stuff like that. But like, I use that to have my data hub, to have all of my information in the right places, because I would often lose so much time searching for all my information that's needed. Old press releases, old contracts, old yada, 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 yada. When we're doing this all self-taught, one of the biggest things could just be organization of even of what you have.
Sure.
In my mind, it's like already like I had a project called ADD. You know what I'm saying? So I need that organizational infrastructure to help. And that's been one of the biggest keys that has allowed me to be able to stay in the game, because I don't spend extra time searching for my business stuff. My routes to complete business is quick. I got shortcuts on my computer. I press two buttons and there goes a pitch to a blogger. Bam, that's it. I'm not typing extra stuff out. I'm working on saving consistent time. But that'd be like my biggest tip.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge, man, because like, you don't want to waste any time sometimes. Or with some of these people, they don't have much time. And like, if you, they got to wait to hear back from you, they may have already moved on. So
that's facts. Yeah. I have seen that with my own eyes. And then I come back like, hey, my bad. Yeah. But unfortunately, that, you know, sometimes you can't reopen that door.
Right.
So, yeah.
Would you ever sign to a major label?
Whoa. Hey, to be for real, as much as they can rob the HU double hockey sticks out off of you, I don't know if we can cuss on
that. You can say whatever you want, man.
Much as they can rob the hell out of you. If you ever saw me sign to a major, just know that I've been working and I mentally got what it take to, he gonna end up buying himself out of his deal. He's gonna do yada, yada, like, this ain't no joke for me, man. This has been a very long journey, and it's been an appreciative journey because I've been able to understand who I am. I've been able to understand what I value. I've been able to understand what I want to project ultimately and get the best aerial view of what I want to do when it is time. So if I ever sign to a deal, it's going to be the utmost strategic move.
Right.
And I'm going to take that money and I'm going to reinvest and I'm going to flip it 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 and, put it right where it need to be.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed, but I gotta take over the playing field first. Right now we still rising it up.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we got how do you balance being a music producer for yourself and others? Do you find it challenging to produce works for others that aren't too similar to your individual work?
I can dig that. As of recently, I feel like I truly discovered what being a music producer was. And because there's beat makers, then there's music producers. And then you be like, Diddy, you didn't make the beat. Diddy, what are you doing, bro? You didn't make the beat. What are you doing here? It is very pivotal to be a producer, a curator. That's what it is.
Right.
A curator, making sure the drapes match in the house, making sure this aligns with this. You didn't make the furniture, but you know how to put it in the room, right? You know what I'm saying? You know how to do this. You know how to position it. And that has been the key of being like, oh, okay, so let me be the curator. I have the vision, and I actually need to go get assistance to help truly execute my vision. I remember one day it took me 4 hours to play these one chords. And I played the hell out of them, but it took me 4 hours
right.
to play these chords, and I didn't have any fluidity because all I could do was but I couldn't do any true fluid stuff. You know what I mean? I've been working with this producer Owen Ragman, you know, who I mentioned earlier, 16-year-old pianist. But you know, being able to translate what I have into my brain, maybe barely play a demo, and then allowing him to do it. Allowing him to just be him, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And then I take that and I curate it and I put it into my art. So it's just like not letting myself get into the way. I've been noticing that, just like produce, curate. As far as like working with other artists, again, just going back to that stage of curation, not getting locked into my boat of like, oh, this is what I like, this is what I do, but like truly trying to figure out what fully meshes with this artist, what is going to complement. Just like I tweak an EQ, everybody got a different EQ for their life, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you want to tweak everything accordingly to what is going to bring out the best between their art and your art and make that mesh. So I just been really just been trying to focus on curating. Yeah. curate. Oh yeah.
Do you when you're doing this though, are you trying to just serve the song, or do you try to push other artists like to expand, like, you know, try to see how far you can get them to go?
Back when my studio was back up running, like I've been doing a lot of traveling, but at first self-employed, so I used to do sessions 24/7 just to, you know, pay bills. excuse me. But one of the biggest things was that. And I'm gonna scoot back just a little bit. In my production, I felt like I was able to become a producer because I was able to learn how to voice. I was able to learn how to motivate the artists in the booth to peak past potential. That's a very fragile place. Sometimes the artist may not be as confident in the craft.
Right.
Sometimes the artist is just nervous. Sometimes the artist is like, F you, bro, I know what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? It's a very, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I'm like, I can see where this track can go. And just learning how to use my language to communicate with them, to motivate them to find those areas that they didn't know that they could reach. Right. But again, that's the key moments of being a producer. And I had noticed that, like, that was a talent of mine. I was able to tell people, that's not the take, bro, without being like, that shit was trash.
Right.
That's not what you said. You know what I'm saying? Like, being able to motivate that person to find those areas within themselves. Because you have to motivate that person in order for them to do it. You can't depress them, their spirit and energy, then they won't feel, you know. I don't know. So that was like one of the biggest moments, because I've been able to work with artists and take them to different levels, to where people would come to my studio and they'd be like, hey, Mo, whatever you say, I'm all ears for, because I trust the vision. And it felt good, because it's like, I get to pay my dues. Because I remember at one point in time, I would try to tell singers what to do, and they'd be like, you ain't no singer. You know what I'm saying? And I'd be like, bruh. I hear harmonies in my head. Just hear me out. Like, that's not the right key. It's all good. That's not, you know what I mean? But to be able to get that trust just through putting the work in, that's like the biggest rewarding feeling. Forget anything else. I just appreciate the fact that being able to put in enough work to where people can understand your vision. Whether or not they see it, but they will let you guide them. That's like,
right.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, yeah.
Some people, I mean, I don't know. I feel like if you're at that point, you should be able to handle being told if it's trash or not. Like, I mean, because not everything's going to be great, but you know, some people, there are people that get a little sensitive to that stuff, and like, but you know, sometimes I would appreciate if somebody was more honest with me, like, hey, no one's That one's not your best.
I would have so appreciated somebody was more honest with me when I was rapping off beat, boy. I remember them days.
Right.
I'm like, yo, what y'all think about this? Hey, that's tight, man. That's tight. It had the vision, but
sure
could have fixed the sinking. Just that much more. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, just a little small stuff. But right. The only way we gonna make it, especially in this city, is just still sharpening steel consistently. Mm-hmm. We have to be on each other's ass. We got to put each other in boot camp because we naturally don't have those elements in the city doing that. You know what I'm saying? Other cities, they got legends all left and right. So there is like, there's a default. I feel like I'm jumping all over the place, but there's a default. I feel like when Smino put out that, when he put out his newest project, for me in my head, that was the new default for this is the quality. And if you can't match this quality, then that's not the, don't expect for your stuff to surface like other people. People right. put in hours and work in perfecting their craft. This is a level of quality to reach.
Right.
And I appreciate him just being him in the city because it's a new bar for people to be like, oh, wait, let me rise the bar. Let me attempt to reach higher levels of quality. Because when we don't have that, then there's nobody letting you know that like, oh, that's a good song. But that's not going to be what, that's not what's going to help you change your life. You need to be able to like break into levels and I don't know, just understand what a bar is.
Yeah.
Understand what a bar is.
I get it, man. We got one more question from the fans. They said, what legacy would you like to leave behind in a world of music when it's all said and done?
Woo!
I think we kind of got it. We maybe touched on a little bit with more, but
yeah,
you know,
you
kind of get into what your vision is for some of this, but
no facts, man. I ultimately I want to be able to inspire, and upon inspiring, it's like you know, building platforms that can help allow people to do their craft, building platforms to allow the people who go against society's norms, they need to be cultivated. They need a home. They need, you know, they need guidance, assistance. Because those are people who are going to end up changing the world. Those are people who change art. You know what I'm saying? Those are people who think outside those lines. So if I can, like, just inspire as much as possible, build platforms, and be able to help cultivate that, that is really dope to me.
Right.
Because ultimately, we do this for changing the world. For real, for real. You know what I'm saying? I love music. I love the way a simple rhythm can make me feel. But knowing the fact that, like, in the utmost reality, dog, we live in some interesting ass times. This music can help uplift somebody. If it's one human being, bet that. You know what I'm saying? But it's no telling who that person is going to be interacting with. So uplift this platform to, let's see, motivate myself to motivate people around me. Not even, well, to motivate myself to motivate the universe around me. That's been my new mantra. And it's just like, not even for the sake of them to work for me, you know what I'm saying? But just to go see them rotate and be their own damn universe, that's beautiful. That's like the beautifulest thing to witness, you know what I'm saying? So build platforms, motivate, and just innovate.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's what it's about, man.
Get in.
Yep. Again, you can get involved with everything Mastermind on your Facebook and Instagram. And again, music's available everywhere, all the digital platforms, wherever you're getting your music today. You can, again, come out and see Mastermind with J.E. and a whole crew of other people.
E42.
Yeah. That's going back a bit too.
Yeah, dog.
That's gonna be a fun night.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, that grab your tickets at your the Pageant box office or Ticketmaster.com. That's again Friday, July 20th. Doors at 7, shows at 8.
Giddy.
Come on out. So you said let's close it out with you said you are working out. You have a new project in the works.
Yeah.
For the future coming up here soon.
Yeah, man. Life is amazing, and I've been able to be that much more present I've been stuck in that more phase, which was why I wrote that song. But sometimes it don't allow you to just be simply present on what's in front of you. So saying all that to say that, like, I'm in perfect album mode because I'm not just in complete work mode and stuck in a blur. I'm really seeing a lot of things that in the midst of that blur that I overlooked. People, loved ones, time, things to value, the act of just being present, that has been like sparking off all different types of writings for myself because I see a different view. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. So I'm really getting a chance to write out this RPG of a life I'm living, and I'm just excited to put that out into the world. Get it to people who need it. Express it for myself because I need it. Because I need it, and I need it. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Music is my therapy for real. But
yeah, me too, man. I mean, as a fan, I don't perform at all, but if I don't go to a show in a couple of days or something like that, I start getting a little cranky, you know. That's my release, is going out to live music and having, you know, that experience. So
many different messages can hit you, man. Yeah, man. Be that medicine that you need.
Definitely.
Yep.
Well, again, get involved, come out to a show, and hopefully Mastermind coming to a town near you soon.
Yeah. No, for real though. We're gonna get some touring popping come fall. After this project drop, we hitting the road. We're gonna tour over shores like the Moors.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you so much for doing this. It's been an absolute honor, man. I really appreciate it.
It's definitely been an honor, bro.
Yeah. I'll see you soon, my friend.
All right, peace, y'all. Appreciate y'all tuning in.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.